Portions of KDKR's daily programming do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
So what is your investment philosophy? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon and welcome to the Prudent Money Radio Show. I'm your host, Bob Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. So today I want to have a discussion. What I want to talk about is simply this one question. What is your investment philosophy? How do you go about looking at investments? Now, a lot of people will say, I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I can't even begin to understand it. I'm not a numbers person, so I don't really know that I have an investment philosophy. I got to tell you, even though reading all the numbers, listening to all the technical information about the stock market can be completely confusing, the good news is when it comes to a philosophy, we can step up a couple of levels and you don't have to get down into all that, the details as far from the standpoint of the numbers, all the numbers. It's just, this is how you feel about investments. This is how you want to go about having your investments managed. And how do you pick out the right fit, advisor-wise, to help you through the years and keep you on that track for that particular investment philosophy? And that's what I want to talk about today, because I just really am concerned as I look at this stock market. And for those of you who've listened to me for a number of years, you know that I have been a student of bear markets and how they work. Because I've always had one of my philosophies is that if you can handle the bear markets effectively and efficiently, meaning not lose a ton of money, then if you can manage the risk, the growth will be there. And it's just so very important. In fact, I've even talked about it being a stewardship principle from the standpoint of managing risk. If God gives us something, and he gives us everything we've got, if he allows for us to have something, and we get that under our ownership, at least while we're here, and we're supposed to manage it. It's funny because it takes on a different tone when you think of it from the standpoint of God is giving this to you to manage on his behalf. And the goal is to be a prudent steward when it comes to what God has given us. If we are managing something for God, then that really, you look at it a little bit differently. And if you looked at your, I'll tell you from an overall stewardship standpoint, and I can't tell you that I'm always good at doing this. If you look at your health, if you look at your relationships, if you look at everything that God has given you and allowed for you to have while you're on earth, then you look at it from the standpoint of, hey, I've got to be the best manager of my relationships that I can be. I got to be the best, most effective, prudent manager of my job, of my career. It just takes on a totally different tone, doesn't it? And today we're talking about stewardship of money, which is what usually you think of when you talk about stewardship. And I just really do believe that we're in for a tough period of time here. Can't put a timeline on it as far as length of time. I just know that if you look at today's bear market and compare it to other bear markets of the past, we're on very similar tracks. The characteristics are very similar. And no one bear market is the same as another. But they do have a situation where they look like each other, and they mimic each other in certain aspects. So there's really two main ways to go about managing and investing money. And like I said, it comes down to your philosophy. The most popular one brought out by pop culture finance is that you are a long-term investor. And really, if you break it down, it's you're dependent on growth to balance everything out, to balance out the years like we're having this year, to be down 20-something percent through the end of September and starting another quarter, which will be the end of 2022. How will it turn out? I just know in 2008 turned out to be a negative 38% return for the stock market. But we got, you know, every day is a lot of days, you know, so a lot can happen. And I just think that, number one, it's not too late to ask the question of what your philosophy is. And it's definitely not too late to take some action if you think you need to. But you're definitely a long-term investor. And in fact, I was just reading something. I should have printed it off and read some of it to you. But I was reading something from the chief investment officer from Vanguard. And typically what ends up happening is mutual fund companies bring out their highest titled investment guru to address the situation so that you feel better. And they're going to tell you you're a long-term investor and you need to stay invested no matter what. Because if you don't, then you'll be guilty of trying to time the market. And what I mean by that is when you try to time the market, you attempt to sell at the highest point that it goes and buy at the lowest point. I would agree with market timing is not a very successful investment philosophy because it's just so hard to do. You literally almost have to have a crystal ball, which, you know, we joke around about that. There's nobody that has a crystal ball that's going to tell you when to get in and when to get out, even though there's a lot of commercials that market trading software that's going to do that for you, but it just doesn't exist. And besides, if I held the secret, think about this for a second. If I held the secret to knowing when to get in and when to get out, and I knew that it was going to work 100% or even 90% of the time, guess what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't tell anybody. Because once you let a secret go, once the market starts to figure things out, then they figure out what's happening and it doesn't work anymore. I've seen that happen with so many different trends and things that have happened. And if this happens for 3 months in a row, probably the most popular one, which we'll be talking about in a few months, hard to believe, is the effect of Christmas, the Santa Claus rally, all that on the markets. But a little too early. It's hard to believe we're getting that close, but it is a little bit too early to talk about that. So it really does come down to being the long-term investor. If you try to change anything, you're timing the market. And here's the thing, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. It's not about timing the market. It's never about timing the market because timing the market is really too tough to do. So, but that's where they go to. In fact, this article was talking about, but you know, you could always sell and go put everything in a money market, but you have two different tasks in front of you that are very tough to pull off. When to sell, and then when to buy. So it's kind of this invest and hope for the best. When you go through markets like this, and there's going to be an absolute ton of information that supports the notion of being a long-term investor. And mutual fund companies are loaded with these two or three page papers on why it does not make sense to sell and to get out and different things like that. In fact, there's a couple of different types of these articles that get sent through the email to advisors. Say, hey, share this with your clients. This should put it all into perspective. And it's really, it's a little bit deceiving when you look at some of these things. But I'll give you an example of two of them. The first one is the title of the paper is something to the effect of, there are more good years than there are bad years to support long-term investing. So if you look at a chart that shows the number of good years to the number of bad years, there's no question there's way more good years than bad years. But there's a reason that there's more good years to bad years, because you have to have way more many good years to make up for the loss of the bad years and the bad periods of time. Excuse me. So for instance, just to give you an example, and I'm going to be a little bit off on these numbers, but you'll get the point. Between 2007 and 2009, the stock market lost all of the value back to roughly 1998. We were at the same price levels in 2009 that we were in roughly 1998. That is a lot of years of investment growth that just got wiped out in 18 months. Then there's the other one on market timing, which I'll share with you after the break because we are up against one. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. Stick around. I'll be right back.
The Word for Today is excited to announce the new official online home for the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith and Kay Smith, PastorChuck.org. At PastorChuck.org, you'll have instant access to thousands of hours of verse-by-verse teaching by Pastor Chuck Smith from Genesis through Revelation, and full access to special messages on subjects such as prophecy and much, much more. Also at PastorChuck.org, a full library of great teachings by Kay Smith, and a section where you can read some of Pastor Chuck's books online, all free of charge. So visit the new official online home of The Word for Today and the ministry of Pastor Chuck and Kay Smith, PastorChuck.org.
Dynamic, practical, life-changing.
There's no point in going to church and not letting the Christ who gave birth to the church on the day of Pentecost change your life.
Join us each day as Pastor Paul Shepherd applies the timeless truth of Scripture to everyday life. It's Destined for Victory on this great station.
Listen daily, 3:30 p.m. on Bible School Radio 91.3.
Hi, this is Kirby Anderson with the Point of View Radio Talk Show. I want to invite you to listen to our program on KDKR from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. Monday through Friday. We look at various issues from a biblical perspective. Our topics range from politics and economics to the Bible, theology, and apologetics. We also bring authors and informed experts to the program. We talk about anything that affects your faith, your family, or your freedom. Hope you'll join us every day on Point of View right here on Bible School Radio 91.3.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you've got a question for me, please go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. Send that question into the Ask Bob section, and I will get that taken care of. That's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. One of the other papers that will come out is talks about market timing when you're trying to successfully time the market at the top and get out, and then time the market perfectly in the bottom to get back in. And I don't want to be misunderstood as you can do that pretty easy. It's impossible almost to do that unless you are extremely, extremely lucky. That I do agree with Pop Culture Finance on for sure, but that's not what we're trying to do. But they'll bring that market timing piece out and they'll say, look, if you miss the third, I'm just coming up with these numbers off the top of my head, but you'll get the idea. If you miss the top 30 days or the top 30 months of a certain period, then your $1 will turn into $1,000 over a period of time. If you just stayed invested, your $1 would turn into $100,000. And so basically what they're trying to say is that if you try your luck at market timing and you happen to miss just a few of these really good days, you'll definitely hurt your return long term. So I keep getting the copies of these and getting these things in my email. So I always thought to myself, well, why don't they ever determine what happens when you miss the worst days of the market? What about that study? And to date, I've never seen anybody come out with that study. I happen to have a software package at that time that would run an analysis for me. And what I did, because it was easier to do it in months, if you missed the 30 best months in it was a very long time period, then your $1 would have turned into $2,000. If you missed the if you were a long-term investor and you stayed invested, your $1 would turn into $300,000 or $400,000. So definitely pay to stay invested. But then I authored a piece that said, what if you missed the 30 worst months? Your $1 would have turned into $8 million. And so that's the inconvenient other side of the story that they don't tell you, but it's for whatever it's worth. The thing though that I don't like about the whole idea of being a long-term investor, not making any changes, not adjusting for risk, just staying invested, is that it becomes a habit. And you can absorb those ups and downs, you know, when you got 10, 15 years left to go. No question about that. You can absorb them if you really wanted, if you had to. But when you get this close to retirement, when you get within 1 year, 2 years or even 5 years of retirement, you can't afford to take these big hits because you don't have the time on your side at this point. And the problem is, if all you know, and this I saw this in a big way in 2000, which was the very first big bear market this generation of investors has gone through. And what this generation of investors had lived through prior to 2000, which that bear market lasted 2000 to 2002, is a situation where the market went down, it always came back up. So people who made a lot of money, especially through the technology bubble, retired in 2000, which was the absolute worst time to retire, because between 2000 and 2002, the market lost a total of 45%. It's pretty brutal. And yet, the only thing that you might know at that point is stay in it for the long term. So you would stay invested and you would take that risk and you would get beat up pretty bad. And so there's not an alternative strategy that you've practiced, that you've lived through, that you can call, that you can reference, that you can use. And that's probably my biggest problem with that, because it's a habit. There's no other habit for something else. And this is also illustrated with a hypothetical scenario using, and I'm going to write a blog on this and post it, but it's a hypothetical scenario where you're just invested in the market, the S&P 500, between 1973 to 1998, versus 1982 to 2007. Because that's the thing, is that you have no idea at the time that you choose to retire, you have no idea what type of market's ahead of you. So if you retired in 2009, you had the most unbelievable market of a lifetime ahead of you. But if you retired at the beginning of this year, I can't tell you what type of markets you've got ahead of you. Probably not that too good. So if you took this scenario at age 65, where this investor retired in 1973 to 1998, and the investor took out roughly $68,000 pre-tax out of his money every year, and had some inflation protection in there as well, then between the stock market between 1973 and 1998, the investor would have lost everything by age of 86. So you flip that over and you go the S&P 500, same investor, 65, between 1982 and 2007, and that $1 million, taking out that $68,500 adjusted for inflation year after year, at 89, this investor had $11.1 million. So two identical time frames as far as number of years, two drastically different outcomes. And that's the thing, it's the sequence of returns. You just don't know what you're going to get. That's why, in my opinion, going to the other strategy and having a strategy for risk. And I always talk about it, refer to it as plan A versus plan B. Because even, let's just say that even if you had a fully diversified portfolio of bonds and stocks, and when I say fully diversified, I mean in order to reduce risk, you have to have quite a bit of fixed type bond type funds in there. That we can talk about that at a later time. But you've got to be well diversified. The problem is that we're entering into a period where stocks and bonds both lose money. And I looked at a big name mutual fund company. Their bond index stock fund lost negative 3.48%. That's almost equal to the worst year the bonds have ever had in 1 month. And then year to date, that particular bond index fund, which is a good representation of the entire bond market, is down 15%. Stocks, on the other hand, the S&P 500, if you were invested in an index fund with the S&P 500, you would have been down negative 9.2% in the month of August. I mean, in the month of September, excuse me. Year to date through the end of September, you're down negative 23.95%. And if you use traditional bonds and traditional stocks, diversification definitely didn't work. That's why I always talk about using strategy instead, meaning you have a risk strategy, which is there to handle these difficult types of markets that we're up against. The bottom line with switching things up and looking at where you are after we've gone down quite a bit, but really not nearly as far down as we could go compared to traditional bear markets, there is still time to take a look at your risk level and say, okay, I want to rethink my risk level. I want to bring it down some, and I want to make changes accordingly. And of course, with bond funds, you have to go, and this is not a recommendation, you have to go with something like short-term bond funds or even cash, and to balance things out. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish this up tomorrow and talk about strategic investing and talk a little bit more about what you can do with your 401ks and whatnot, because we are running out of time. Listen, if you do have a question for me, please go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com and just send it in. I'll get you taken care of. I always do. If you want an opinion about your investments, you're welcome to send them to me, and I can tell you what I think about risk and that sort of thing if you want a second opinion. And if you miss any of today's program, you can always listen to the podcast, which is on prudentmoney.com and wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcast, which I hope that Prudent Money is one of them. But if you have a question for me, please go to the website, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.